Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome to another edition of Books and Boba. It is our October book news episode where we share the new releases and publishing news in Asian American literature. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Riva Yu.
And we are your hosts for this book club that covers Asian and Asian American authors, or books by Asian and Asian American authors. We are coming at you once again from the Potluck Podcast Studio here in Little Tokyo, nestled deep inside the visual communications office. They've so graciously let us use this space to build the studio, and now we're like totally professional.
We're still getting used to some gear, so if audio sounds funky.
No, it sounds great. It sounds great. Don't worry about it.
I'm trusting that it sounds great.
How's it going? It's been a couple of weeks since we last talked.
It's been week and a half, two weeks. Yeah.
It's October is a very, very busy month, I feel like.
Yeah, because of collaboration stuff, right?
Well, collaboration stuff. Well, I was also talking about book news. There's a whole bunch of new books coming out this month.
Yeah, a lot. Most of them came out already, but we'll get through them. I actually, I just finished Cindy Pond's One.
Right.
And I think you'll really like it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it is like super Taiwanese.
Oh, I love Taiwanese stuff.
Because it takes place in Taipei, and it's like sci-fi dystopia.
That's like the heist story, right? It's a heist story? Yeah. It looks
cool. So I think you'll really like it.
I feel like there's a lot of sci-fi in my world right now, and I kind of like it. It's not bad. And we're reading a sci-fi book for our November book club pick, which we will announce at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Yeah, how about we get to it? Let's get to the new releases of the month of October. First up, it's Amisa. It's one word, so I'm assuming it's all connected. By Supriya Kelkar. Again, sorry if I butchered that name.
It's okay. It's okay. Just roll with it.
Published by Two Books, released on October 1st, 2017. Set in 1942 when Indian citizens were fighting for independence from British rule, Kelkar's novel follows 10-year-old Anjali, who joins the Amisa, a nonviolent resistance, after her freedom fighter mother is imprisoned in jail. The novel is inspired by author Kelkar's great-grandmother's experience working with Mahatma Gandhi.
So that's already out for those who are interested in getting Amisa by Supriya Kelkar. Next on our list is Pashmina by Nidhi Chanani. And that was published by First Second, released on October 3rd. Pashmina tells the story of an Indian-American girl who struggles to fit in at high school, then discovers more about her family's history with the help of her mother's magical Pashmina. Pashmina is a graphic novel.
Yeah, I actually met the author at Comic-Con. We were at a special breakfast meetup that Sarah Kuhn put together with her industry friends. And yeah, the art looks super cute.
I'm all for more middle grade graphic novels because I grew up on mangas.
Yeah.
And like, you know, mangas are translated. They're not American. So it's like nice to have more graphic novels that are not so gritty to a point where where like kids are like, I don't know. There's like blood and gore and sex in this.
And also featuring protagonists of color.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's always good. Next up is Under the Pendulum Sun by Jeanette Ng, published by Angry Robot, released on October 3rd, 2017. Catherine Hellstone's brother, Leon, has disappeared in Arcadia, legendary land of the magical fae. Desperate for news of him, she makes the perilous journey, but once there, she finds herself alone and isolated in the sinister house of Gethsemane. Fantasy talk. At last, there comes news. Her beloved brother is writing to be reunited with her soon, but the Queen of the Fae and her insane court are hard on his heels. Sounds thrilling.
It kind of reminds me of Sorcerer to the Crown, because it takes... I mean, Sorcerer to the Crown took place in the Regency era, and this takes place in the Victorian era.
But
it's still, like, fantasy, like, mixed in with historical fiction, and with, there's, like, magic and fairies.
Snooty British people.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, snooty.
The aristocracy.
The aristocracy.
The landed gentry.
Next up is Seize Today by Pintip Dunn, published by Entangled Teen and released on October 3rd. The final installment of the Forget Tomorrow series tells the story of a 17-year-old Olivia Dredston, who can see different versions of people's futures flicker before her eyes. When her mother, Chairwoman Dredston, captures Ryder Russell, a boy from the rebel underground, Olivia is forced to reevaluate her notions of love and faith. With Ryder's help, Olivia must come to terms with who her mother is in the present and stop her before she destroys the world. Pintip Dunn, she's the author of Girl on the Verge, and that was like a contemporary YA thriller, and that followed like a Thai American girl. So it's interesting she wrote like a sci-fi trilogy.
It's always interesting to hear like all these names being thrown around these descriptions, because like personally I have a hard time naming stuff. Like I would sit on like the character generation screen of a video game for hours because I still don't know what to name someone. It's really bad.
You must be like, do you watch Game of Thrones? There's a lot of characters in that. I mean, the book has even more.
I follow the recaps because it's easier than watching the actual show. Anyways, enough about my my infuriating media consumption habits. Next up is The Sun and Her Flowers by Rupi Kaur, published by Andrew McMeel Publishing, and it released on October 3rd. From Rupi Kaur, the New York Times bestselling author of Milk and Honey, comes her long-awaited second collection of poetry. Divided into five chapters and illustrated by Kaur, The Sun and Her Flowers is a journey of wilting, falling, rooting, rising, and blooming. It is a celebration of love in all its forms. I've seen Milk and Honey in at the Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, it's always there. Like it's like the best-selling poetry book, nice. Poetry collection. Next up is Not Your Villain by C.B. Lee. It's published by Duet Books and it released on October 5th. After discovering a massive cover-up by Heroes League of Heroes and becoming framed as the country's most wanted villain, shapeshifter Bells Broussard, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
It could be Broussard.
Bells Broussard and his friends set off to find the resistance. Meanwhile, power-hungry former hero Captain Orion is on the loose with a dangerous serum that renders metahumans powerless, and a new militarized robotic threat emerges. Everyone is in danger. Between college applications and crushing on his best friend, will Bells have the time to take down a corrupt government? And that is Not Your Villain by C.B. Lee.
And this is the sequel to Not Your Sidekick, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it features a black trans superhero.
Awesome. So, yeah, I remember
pretty great.
The first book featured a bi Vietnamese main character?
Yeah, Vietnamese.
Awesome. We're trying to get C.B. Lee on the line to talk about her series. So hopefully we'll be able to talk to her sometime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a lot going on.
I've heard so many great things about it. And of course, the cover is amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm all for more representation in superhero lore. So
yeah. All right. Next up is Where the Stars Rise, Asian Science Fiction and Fantasy, edited by Lucas K. Law and Derwin Mack, published by Loxa Media Groups Incorporated and released on October 8th. In this anthology, 23 science fiction and fantasy authors take their readers on a journey through Asia and beyond, from stories about orphans and drug smuggling in deep space to a rocket launch in post-apocalyptic Tokyo. Each story wrestles between ghostly past and uncertain future. And authors in the anthology include Anne Carly Abad, Deepak Barathon, Joyce Ching, Miki Dare, S.B. Divya, Pamela Q. Fernandez, Calvin D. Jim, Minsoo Kang, Fonda Lee, Gabriella Lee, Karen Loachi, Rati Mahotra, E.C. Myers, Tony Pai, Angela Yurko Smith, Priya Sridhar, Amanda Sun, Narodame Sundar, Jeremy Tsai, Regina Kanyu Wang, Dinah Xing, Melissa Yuang Innes, and Ruhan Zhao.
That's a lot of writers.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I think, if not all of them, are of Asian descent.
You can't really judge by names, but, you know, some
yeah,
of them sound.
Yeah, you really can't judge by names. But, yeah, this is an anthology of sci-fi and fantasy stories that take place in Asia or takes Asian culture. And for the most part, is own voices, I'd like to assume.
I hope so. Hopefully they don't Blade Runner us.
No, let's not go there. Oh my god,
it's so sad because I really want to like it.
It's really funny because Cindy Pond, the author of Want and the Serpentine series, she said in a tweet, "Oh, all the Asians in Blade Runner are in Fantasy Island eating better food and
right.
like
well, obviously
a party.
Asia won the culture wars, so while America is, you know, consuming all Asia's products, Asia's like living large and like in clean utopian cities, right? That's the world of Blade Runner in my head.
Yeah.
My head canon, that is it.
Next up is Forest of a Thousand Lanterns by Julie C. Dow, published by Philomel Books, released on October 10th. 18-year-old Xi Feng is beautiful. The stars say she is destined for greatness, that she is meant to be Empress of Feng Lu, but only if she embraces the darkness within her. Growing up as a peasant in a forgotten village on the edge of the map, Xi Feng longs to fulfill the destiny promised to her by her cruel aunt, the witch Guma, who has read the cards and seen glimmers of Xi Feng's majestic future. But is the price of the throne too high? And that is Forest of a Thousand Lanterns by Julie C. Dow.
So this is like a Maleficent slash like Wicked type of adaptation of the Snow White fable.
The pitch that I've been hearing is an East Asian inspired fantasy retelling of the Evil Queen.
From Snow White.
From
right?
Snow White.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, this can also be like a setup or a pitch for like every single Chinese historical empress drama ever. Like literally, like young girl rises from poverty, becomes the emperor's favored concubine, and eventually becomes empress of China. That's like, there's at least five of that exact story. But awesome. Yeah, this is I've seen people talk about this book on Twitter and reception seems to be pretty good. So yeah, I like that. I like reimaginings.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan of fairy tale reimaginings as well.
There's a whole genre of like...
There was actually yeah, like, when I was in college, there was a class specifically for that.
Really?
Yeah, you have to write a movie based on a fairy tale.
Well, also, I feel like there's a whole genre of telling stories, like retelling stories from the villain's point of view. Right.
Yeah, I think that seems to be a recent trend. Yeah. Speaking of fairy tale retellings, what's the next book?
Good segue. The next book is A Line in the Dark by Melinda Lowe, published by Dutton Books for Young Readers and releases on October 17th, 2017. Chinese-American Jess Wong is in love with her best friend Angie, but is afraid to admit it. She is more reluctant to do so after Angie begins to fall for Margot Adams, a popular girl from a nearby boarding school. As Jess and Angie's friendship reaches a breaking point, a friend of Margot is found murdered in a park, and the search for the killer sheds light on some dark secrets about everyone. This doesn't sound so fantastical.
No. The reason why I mentioned like fairy tale retellings is Melinda Lowe, her debut novel was Ash. And I think you may have heard of it.
I have not.
It's a queer fairy tale of queer retelling of Cinderella.
Okay.
So that was her debut novel. And I think she has about like 3 or 4 books under her belt. I'm not sure of the exact number, but she's been around for a while and she is very active on Twitter and very active about LGBTQ literature. So if you want to learn more about Melinda Lowe, you can follow her on Twitter.
Yeah, follow authors on Twitter because they post a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good stuff.
Right, who Twitter's knew? Become... Writers are intelligent human beings who can articulate their thoughts.
And that'll do it for this edition of the new releases for the month of October. I'm sure there'll be more that we can catch up on later on, but that's a lot of stuff. I mean, if someone made it a goal to read every single, I'm glad we didn't make it a goal to read every single book by Asian American authors.
It's impossible.
It's like, there's a lot. Like, whoever told you there aren't any, they're an idiot.
A lot of people don't know. That's why we have this podcast.
Yeah. I guess we can move on to
book news.
Well, before we get to there, I forgot to mention, we talked about November's book pick announcement, but don't forget the October book club pick for Books and Boba is The Ghost Bride by
Yang Zay Chu.
Thanks for the assist.
Actually, speaking of November picks, we're in a kind of dilemma right now. So we asked people to vote for our November pick, and we had four books as options.
Right.
And you could vote once on Twitter and once on Goodreads. Problem is, we have a tie. Something that I did not expect. So
what are our choices?
So the finalists are Empress of a Thousand Skies by Rhoda Beleza and Star Swept by Mary Fan.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is throw a coin.
We can roll a die. I have this app on my phone because I've been developing a actual play podcast, which is where we record our super awesome RPG sessions with me and some friends. And we're going to make a podcast out of it. Watch out for it. It's going to coming soon. I'll make the announcement.
You have like 5 podcasts.
I'm going to roll a D2 on my phone app, which is pretty much just a coin. What is 1? What is 2?
Let's say Star Swept is 1 and Empress of a Thousand Skies is 2.
Okay. And we're going to have record me and post this on the Books and Boba Instagram to show that we did not fudge it. It is totally legit.
Wait, I don't know if I have signal in the studio.
We'll just record the video and then post it later.
Yeah. Hold on. I have a new phone, so I'm not used to.
Okay. So I'm going to hit a D2. And then I'm going to roll it. It's 2.
So Empress of a Thousand Skies.
That is our book for the month of November, which works out because it's an older book, right? So people should be able to get it pretty easily.
Older as in it came out in like February.
Okay.
I think the paper bag is actually coming out this month, but I don't think... Actually, no, it might... People might be able to get it in time, the paperback at least. So,
and I know we had a lot of Twitter people that were really excited about potentially reading Star Swept, that we were going to read Star Swept. And I feel like we're going to read Star Swept at some point or another because we were really, 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 really.
I ordered it. It shipped from Amazon yesterday, yeah. So I'm going to read it no matter what. So.
Yeah, you really like the pitch for it.
I just love books about music and space, and it just combines those two things together. Yeah. So,
well, if Mary Fan wants to come on the show, we are open to it.
Hint, hint.
We should send her a DM just in case.
Let us slide into her DM
as a consolation. I feel bad, but I'll them's the
it.
Breaks. There's only so much time, and yeah,
it was, anyways, fair. It was fair. We left it to the fates, like.
Anyways, let's move on to book news. Oh, yeah, don't forget, read The Ghost Bride. We're going to talk about it at the end of the month. And Reba, you've already finished it, right?
No, I just started today. I'm like on page 16.
I've heard a lot of comparisons to Spirited Away, which makes me very
excited. It is very like lyrical and very much like fantastical, even though it's historical fiction. So
yeah. All right. Let's move on to book news.
Oh, boy.
First up, congratulations to Kazuo Ishiguro for winning the 2017 Nobel Prize in Literature. He is best known for his novels The Remains of the Day and Never Let Me Go, which were both adapted into highly acclaimed films.
From what I know, Kazuo Ishiguro is the third author of Japanese descent to win this award.
Yeah. He's Japanese-British, right?
Japanese-British. Yeah. So he was born in Nagasaki, and he immigrated into Britain when he was 5, and he's just been living there pretty much his entire life. So, there's been some controversy because, like, Japanese people, like
it's like the whole Jeremy Lin thing,
yeah,
right? It's
like people Japanese just citizens him. Are yeah. like, oh, he's a Japanese author, but then like Britain's like, oh, he's a British author. And
can he be both?
Yes, he can be both. It's just media. I've been seeing headlines, and I'm like, it's amazing how people don't do their research.
Yeah. And it's like,
yeah, he has a Japanese name, but the novel is in English language, right?
Yeah, it's in English.
And I mean, not that means anything, but like you can be both and neither, right? Japanese, British.
I mentioned this on the Goodreads forums, but I'm actually really curious how Asians in other countries identify themselves as, because here, Asian Americans, it's still a pretty new term.
It's a pretty new term. It's also a very monolithic term.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because
like, I know, like in Britain, they have British Asians, but then they consider
those are typically South Asians.
Yeah,
right?
It's typically South like Asians.
Yeah.
So it's like I wonder if there's an actual term that like the youth over there are identifying as. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
yeah.
I wonder, but you know, with the thing with diaspora communities is that like you're both part of the culture and not, right? And you're kind of a subculture, and there's a lot of nuance. But it's always funny that like it's not until you win an award or become famous that people want to claim you, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's generally how it works.
Yeah,
yeah, unfortunately. But I actually just finished reading Never Let Me Go.
Okay.
And it was so good.
Oh, yeah?
It was so good, and it was also super British.
Okay. So, you like that. I feel like that's, like, your flavor.
Yeah,
your preferred flavor
is... It's, like, very, like, it has melancholy, and it's, like, beautiful writing, and it's so peaceful to read, but it's, like, dystopian literature, so...
Okay.
Like, it's a great blend of genres, and... It's a stream of consciousness, and I thought I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, that's not exactly your favorite.
But it was actually really nice. It was very conversational, so very easy to read for me.
Yeah. Well, hopefully now that it's won the Nobel Prize, it'll be easier to find in bookstores. I'm sure it's already pretty easy to find.
Yeah, like his books are out in paperback. You can find them at Barnes & Noble everywhere. And also like two big movies made from his books. I mean, Remains of the Day starred Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson.
Wow.
And Never Let Me Go had Keira Knightley and I don't remember the other British chick that was in it. But a bunch of A-list stars, so...
That's cool. It's kind of my ignorance. I didn't know there was a Nobel Prize for... I always thought it was for, like, peace and, like, science. I didn't realize there was a literature one.
I'm trying not to kill you over this table right now, but... Well, glad that you've learned something.
Yeah.
Next on our news is Ace and Swords bought world rights to two novels by Peter Torias... Mecha Samurai Empire and Sons of War.
I love that.
Are standalone works set in the same world as Torias's 2016 novel, The United States of Japan, in which Germany and Japan won World War II and divided the United States between them. Mecha Samurai Empire is to be released in fall 2018. I saw the cover for The United States of Japan, and it's like a pretty much a big Gundam in the cover. And I'm like, I'm all about mecha, so I want to read this. But the person who borrowed it at my library lost the copy. So now I'm like stuck in limbo and I can't read it.
Was that an independent published one?
Yeah, it's an indie published.
I'm hearing about it.
I think Angry Robot published it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that like... this alternate history of where the Axis won World War II. Like, it was a trend that started a couple years ago with, like, Men in Hightower and Wolfenstein. And now it's kind of like, is it really fantasy? Is it?
Let's not talk about that. Oh, God. The world is so bleak.
Anyways. Sounds anytime there's mecha and samurai together, I'm at least interested. Like my.
I know Peter Torias's debut novel. It was called like Bald New World, and it's like it's a really funny dystopian book where like one day everybody wakes up bald and no one knows the reason why.
Oh no.
So I'm hoping that kind of humor carries on to his more mecha books, but
yeah.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah. Our next story is Riverhead Books bought Ruchika Tomar's debut novel, A Prayer for Travelers. Set in Nevada, the book follows Kale, who must grapple with what's happening with the protective, ailing grandfather who raised her, and with her Mexican-American best friend, Penny, who disappears after a horrifying moment of violence shatters their world.
And next we have Little B bought world rights to author Andrea Wang's picture book, Magic Ramen, the story of the invention of instant noodles, illustrated by debut artist Kana Ubranowitz. The book shows readers the historical context, scientific experimentation, and spirit of determination and charity that led Momofuku Ando to invent instant ramen. Publication is planned for spring 2019.
I saw the story of this on Mind of a Chef, which is a show that the first season featured David Chang. It's produced by Anthony Bourdain's production company. Momofuku, it's a really interesting story of like trying to find a way to create an easy food that can like feed people post-war Japan. Obviously kids love ramen. I love instant ramen. But do we really want kids to eat more ramen? It's kind of bad for them.
I don't think this book is like encouraging them to eat more ramen, but
I guess, yes, teaching science. Science is good.
Science is good.
I can't eat ramen anymore. I'm too old. Scholastic picked up Sabina Khan's The Love and Lies of Rukhsana Ali, in which the titular character is caught kissing her girlfriend by her conservative Muslim parents, who respond by forcing her to move from Seattle to Bangladesh. Publication is scheduled for spring 2019.
Wow, that's kind of like an extreme reaction. But then conservative parents. So yeah, I get it. But
so Scholastic, so this is probably a middle grade?
Yeah, it's probably novel. Middle grade.
Yeah.
Next, congratulations to Lisa Ko, author of The Leavers, and Minjin Lee, author of Pachinko, for becoming finalists for the 2017 National Book Award for Fiction.
Congratulations. So, both of these books are books that come highly recommended and we'll probably get to at some point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I gave Marvin a copy of The Leavers and I own Pachinko. Yeah. Yeah, it's on our list.
Yeah. But congrats. Both Lisa Ko and Minjin Lee are, they retweet us once in a while, so I'm sure they know who we are. So hopefully you listen.
Notice us, senpai.
Congrats. Our last story is actor John Cho and Viet Thanh Nguyen, author of The Sympathizer, will be hosting a panel at USC on November 17th at 7 p.m. The two will discuss their overlapping interests in film, literature, and Asian American representation. Admission is free, but reservations are required. RSVPs are open on USC's Vision and Voices website on Thursday, October 19th at 9 a.m. That's interesting. So this is for those of you who are in the L.A. area, because that's where USC is, which is also where Viet Thanh Nguyen teaches, right?
Yeah, and Viet Thanh Nguyen's The Sympathizer, that was one of our picks. And we have an entire episode on it with Kristen. So.
It's a real good book.
Yeah, we talked about it for a very long time.
Does that mean John Cho's going to be playing the nameless protagonist?
Did it get picked up for a movie? I don't think so.
I mean, it's a Pulitzer Prize winner, so I'm sure people are trying to get rights.
I want it to be a TV series rather than a movie, because I feel like a movie wouldn't be able to fit everything in it.
Or maybe like a miniseries.
Yeah, miniseries. Yeah.
With Ed Skrein as the nameless protagonist.
Oh, God, no.
I'm just kidding. Ed Skrein's cool. Who's that?
Matt Damon. He's cool, but let's not.
Matt Damon's even less cool these days, apparently. But anyways, let's not talk about that. Those are our news stories for the month of October. Again, if you have any other stories, announcements, new releases that you want to bring to our attention, please do so on our Goodreads forum. We love to see, and it's really great to see so much action on there these days. As always, I'm getting more and more digests of, you know, which happens when people post, and it's really cool to see people interacting.
Like, it's nice to talk about books that aren't our official picks also, because I like to read more than one book a month, and I like to share my thoughts because I have a lot of thoughts.
And thank you to everyone who have given us some kind words on our discussion of Goodbye Vitamin. Those are real nice. And if you do want to support the show, please give us a rating review on iTunes. It really helps us out. It really helps us get on other people's radars. Don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you can. And encourage people to read more books. There's also been a new Asian American book club too that just started.
Oh yeah, Lit Celebration,
which got started by the people who created that bingo game.
Yeah,
right?
Asian Lit Bingo and Asian Lit Chat. So yeah. It's like a collective of Asian book bloggers who have been blogging for a number of years. They're like pros, you guys, and I think their first book pick for October and November, because they're like every 2 months. But so their first pick is Rebel Soul by mm-hmm. Axie O, and that is a book that I really really want to read.
Did you get yours yet?
No, I think
speaking of Mecca,
I have a book budget and I've definitely blown it this month, so I have to wait until
book budget.
Yeah, I have a hold on the library.
Sorry. I will gift one to you if you just return it to me afterwards. Which probably will never happen.
No.
but yeah, check them out. The creators of that book club are also followers on our Twitter, and they respond all the time, which is awesome. So we want to give them some love back. It's always good to see more people championing, you know, Asian American authors. Yeah. Anything else? Don't forget to read The Ghost Bride by Yang Si Chu. We're going to be talking about that. Are we going to bring on a guest this month?
I don't know. Maybe I can find someone to bully into being on this podcast.
Yeah. If you do want to get your thoughts on the podcast, please share your thoughts about the book on the forums, and we'll read them and we'll bring them up as we talk about it. And Twitter and Radar, our November book pick has been decided. It is
Empress of a Thousand Skies by Rhoda Beleza.
Yeah, so put that on your calendar. That will be your book club pick for November. I guess we can start thinking about December.
See, like, I'm a planner.
Uh-huh.
But then I think about, like, all the minute details, and it, like, overloads my brain.
I feel like December we can go for a longer book because people are on vacation and should be reading more. Theoretically.
Yeah, should be reading more. I wonder if we should, like, read a classic. Oh. Like, a book that we should have read, but we're, like, we've been shamed into, like, not reading it.
Shame. Well, we'll think about it. We'll get back to you on that by the end of the month. But thanks again for listening to this episode of Books and Boba. Thank you for all the support. And, watch out for, Rira and I have been building a new website for Books and Boba, so that should be launching soon. Don't forget to check that out. We'll see you next time.
Keep reading, guys.
Bye. And this episode of Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu, and edited by Marvin Yue. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of podcasts featuring unique voices from the Asian American community. If you like this show, check out some of the other great programs of the Potluck Podcast Collective, including Saturday School, a podcast about Asian American pop culture and film history, hosted by Ada Sang and Brian Hu. Check out Saturday School and the other great programs of the Potluck Collective by going to the website www.podcastpotluck.com.